are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Eddie Johnson with 1 second to go. He's shot. It's good.
Detroit basketball.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter at KukaHillNBA. You can find me over at Detroit Bad Boys writing articles about the Pistons. You can find me on YouTube at Kuz Ballroom. And like I tell you guys at the beginning of every podcast, I was a credentialed media member for the 2019-2020 season, so that kind of makes me a big deal. Today, we got a couple fun things to talk about today, man. First, we got Torrey Weaver and Dwayne Casey giving some quotes today to the media, and I'm going to talk about the one quote that stuck out most to me and talk about what this means for the Pistons moving on to next year. We got another tweet that was circulating Twitter today. It's a good little fun little game I'm going to do is re-sign or let walk. We're going to talk about which free agents we should let or the Pistons should let walk or which ones they should re-sign. And also, there's another question that one of you guys posed to me over on Twitter at the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and we're going to talk about that question as well. So we got a couple fun things, a lot of things that you guys created. Actually, two of these are just content that you guys came up with and tweeted at me or I saw on Twitter. So you guys are doing a good job at telling me some things you guys want to hear about. So we're going to talk about all those things. But first, we're going to do this every so often. Let me go ahead and do this real quick. So since the Pistons season's over and the lottery is going to be like the biggest like thing we're looking forward to for the next month, and it's going to like tell like the Pistons like whether this season was really worth it or not, we're going to go ahead and do like a little lottery simulator like every few podcasts. I won't say we'll do it every podcast, but every so often, I'm just going to do this lottery. So let's go ahead and sim it. And Detroit, look at that, man. Just every time, I don't think I've done this one time and a good scenario has happened. So the Pistons fall to 5 here in this simulation I did. We got Orlando at 1. Minnesota at 2. Minnesota, another team that just doesn't deserve it. You just don't. You guys have had so many picks. You just don't deserve to go up 4 spots. Then we got Houston at 3, OKC at 4, and then Detroit at 5. So, you know, that's not the worst case scenario. Falling to 5, I mean, everything I've heard, everything I've read, this draft is supposed to be top heavy at top 5. It's supposed to be 5 blue chip prospects. So, you know, at least the Pistons will get one of those. But, you know, I guess it's not the worst thing. They could always fall to 6, I guess, is what we should be looking at with that. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into one of the quotes from Torrey Weaver today that really stuck out to me. So, like I said, there were a lot of quotes today. They were interviewing Torrey Weaver. He gave a lot of little fun quotes, including one about that BC Boys song. I believe it's... Are those the guys who sing it? Oh, my God. You guys are going to kill me. This is another one of those like songs or bands, I think they are, that I just don't know nothing about. It's that, you gotta fight for your right. He gave a little fun quote about that, like being the best song ever. Because yeah, it's the BC Boys. I knew it. He gave a little fun quote saying, one of the best songs ever is You got to fight for your right to party. Says that success has to be fought for. The Beastie Boys got it right. So he had a fun little quote right there that was trending through Twitter a little bit. He also had a little quote that said that he doesn't believe that there's anybody in the draft that's like Shaq or LeBron that's really franchise changing. I guess maybe we could talk about that in another podcast moving forward. I think he's honestly lying. But we're going to go ahead and skip through all those things and go to the quote that stuck out to me the most. And it's this one right here. Rod Beard tweeted it out, and actually all the beat writers tweeted it out, but this is the tweet I'm looking at. It says, Pistons Torrey Weaver on offseason plan. I don't anticipate having too many roster spots available. We're happy with the guys we have. I would anticipate maybe one or two additions. The answers for the Pistons are all in-house. With internal development, that will be our focus. So this was, I feel like this quote made some rounds, not just in Pistons Twitter, but NBA Twitter. I saw a couple people like quoting it and like kind of poking fun at him for saying that. I saw one of the guys that I follow that he writes for the Golden State Warriors, Brady Klopfer. I believe I said his last name right. I follow him and he had like a little screenshot above it. It was like that Nick Young with a bunch of question marks around him. Like, are you serious? Because the Pistons obviously only won 20 games. So I thought I should talk about this because there's a lot of different ways I can go with this and a lot of different feelings I have about it. So first, I don't really have too much of a problem with him saying this. I see what he's saying, and I think a lot of people in Pistons Twitter probably get what he's saying. But I also feel like I had someone tweet me the other day and say, I can't get what like your character is. I can't get what like what you're going for here with your personality, because I feel like I'm high on some things, I'm low on some things. I can never like just like I'm trying to appease everybody. No, I'm just like a realist. I try to stay in the middle. I try to stay like not too high, not too low. So I feel like with this quote specifically, like I feel where he's coming from, and I am going to explain why I feel where he's coming from. But I also feel like there's a lot of people in Pistons Twitter going way overboard and taking it a little too serious. So first, the reason why I get what he's saying, and I kind of agree with him, is obviously if the Pistons are going to get what they're going to get, it's going to be from development. Like, no doubt, like obviously there's going to be changes over the years, but the main thing that's going to get the Pistons to where they want to be is obviously going to be player development. They're going to have to develop their rookies, their sophomores, their juniors. Like, those guys are going to have to get better. I think that's quite obvious. So I think that part of what he's saying is, like, not being argued as much, because I think everyone just looks at it as, like, okay, well, duh. Like, if the Pistons are going to be good ever, they're going to have, like, Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, whoever they draft this year, whoever they draft next year, whoever draft 2 years from now. These guys are going to have to be developed. Like, you can't have what happened to the Pistons over the past 10 years, where basically only Andre Drummond was really the only one who developed with the team. Like, everyone else busted. I guess you could say maybe Luke Kennard, but I'm not sure if you guys would include him. But the Pistons have had bad draft development for the past 10 years. It's been really bad. So, obviously, that's going to have to change. The other part that I think is... The other part that I think is like throwing some people off, or like why I disconnect from people, is when he's talking about he doesn't anticipate too many roster spots available. First off, I think he's lying. I do not buy that. Whether he means... So obviously, I think just flat out like the math isn't going to make too much sense, because he said there's only going to be like one or two additions. Well, the Pistons have a first round pick and 3 second round picks, and I don't think they're going to like not sign any of those guys, obviously. So that's 4 roster spots that are immediately going to be like additions. So I think he's lying, basically. That's 1. 2, I do expect them to make free agent signings, whether that's 1 or 2 signings. I don't expect them to do any big, but they are going to make free agent signings. So that's another reason why I believe he's lying. And 3, I think the main thing that he's trying to go here, and I think the main thing with Troy Reaver in general that I've learned over the past year of listening to his quotes, I feel like a lot of things he tries saying, like... I try not to read too much into, like, some of them he gives, like, details and some things to take away from, but I feel like the main thing for him is, like trying to hype up the fan base, hype up his guys, give them confidence, give the roster confidence, give the coaching staff confidence, try to give the fan base confidence. I feel like that's what he's, like, trying to do a lot of times with his quotes. And I feel like that's what he's trying to do here. Like, I feel like he's trying to give, like, a good message to the young guys. Like, hey, we're not bringing in guys to take your spots. This is all on you guys. You guys are going to take us where we need to go. You guys need to work hard. We believe in you guys. Like, I feel like that's what he's going for here. But if you're asking me whether I actually believe what he's saying, no, I don't believe him. Because, like I said, there's going to be at least 4 guys who come through the draft, figuring unless they, like, trade a couple second rounds and move up. But either way, there's going to be at least 2 or 3 guys in the draft that they add. And then there's also going to be a few free agent signings that I refuse to believe they don't do. They're going to absolutely make a free agent signing or two. So that's already more than 2 additions. But... the bigger issue I have is with some of the people on Pistons Twitter, or just I feel like fans are getting way too optimistic about this team. And I said this on Twitter as well. I'm not telling fans how to fan. Like, if you want to be optimistic and you want to be like that outwardly optimistic, and that makes you like feel better about the team and it helps you enjoy the team more, then go ahead, go right along and do it. But I'm just giving my opinion on whether that's right or not. I feel like that you guys are putting a lot of false optimism into this, because there's no way... Like, I understand you guys love Killian. I understand you guys obviously love Sadiq Bey. I know that you guys love Beef Stew. But I just think that you guys are being way too optimistic with how good these guys can be. Because when this quote went across, they're like, oh, I saw so many people like, oh, yes, these guys are going to lead us to the promised land. Just add one more player and we're going to the playoffs next year, baby. And then next year after that, we're going to do some stuff. Like, bro, let's just chill out. Like, these picks obviously were good picks, but let's like... temper the expectations a little bit. Like, the Pistons, like, obviously they tried their hardest to tank as much like over the past month or so, but they won 20 games. Let's just chill out a little bit. Like, they still are like the second worst team in the league, and I understand like if they didn't go outwardly and tank as hard as they did, they would have won a few more games. But what would they have been, like, fourth worst team in the league? Like, either way, they're not a good team. And I think this is where fans really like end up unhappy with their rookies that turn into sophomores, and as the years go on, and I'm going on a little bit of a rant here, so I'm gonna close it with this, but I think this is where fans really get off base and end up like ruining how they feel about certain young players, is that they see a rookie that they like, they see some things that they like from him, and they see the potential they have, and they're like, oh yes, I can't wait till next year, he's going to just pop, it's going to get there, he's going to be a monster, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then that, most of the time, that's just not realistic to expect in one offseason and 1 year. And then the next year comes, and then they don't hit that expectation. And then now you're not the new shining toy anymore. Now we got new rookies, and now they do the same thing with those new rookies. And the rookies they felt that way about last year, they get thrown out the window. And I know a lot of you guys are going to say, I'm saying this because of Sekou. I do feel like Sekou falls into this, but I've seen it happen multiple times over the years with multiple rookies over and over and over. And you guys may counter that with, well, those rookies actually didn't turn out to be good. The point is that either way, the fans, what they do is just, after 1 year of liking guys, they'll see some things they like. They set the expectations way too high for those guys, and when they don't meet those, then they're just done with them. They're not as high on them anymore. They don't like them as much. Now it's the new shining toy from that year, whether it's Cade, Jalen Green, Mobley, whatever it is. It's going to be the new shiny toy, and then they'll do the same thing with them. They'll see high things about them, real good potential, love them. And then the next year, if they don't like pop off or hit these expectations, these crazy expectations fans are setting for them, now they don't like them. And again, it's the same process over and over. Now it's the next new shining toy. So I just feel like that. I know it's just a few days after the season ended, and it's the fun thing to do in the off season is to be super optimistic and super fun about the team. I just think that everyone needs to chill just a little bit and just temper expectations a little bit and just. I'm not telling you how to be a fan. I'm just saying that for your best health, I believe you should probably just temper the expectations just a tad. That's all I'm going to say. But coming up, we're going to talk about who of these free agent signings, or these free agents to be, I should say, who should the Pistons sign? Who should they let walk? We're going to play a little game with it. I'll answer those. I saw that flowing around Twitter, so I figured I would be a part of it as well. And then lastly, one of you guys tweeted at me asking a question about some of the Piston players and what they would look like on other teams. That's all I'll say for now. Make sure you guys stick around for that. But before we get into that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. You ever need a part for your car? Head to the store, go through a ton of confusing questioning just for one of the workers to tell you that you don't have the part that you're looking for. I know I have. That's why you should avoid these problems and rock with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or make a membership. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. So like I said, we're going to continue with one of these tweets that someone made. Actually, let me make sure I give them the correct shout out. It's Everything Pistons Podcast. They tweeted out "resign or let walk," and they listed all the Pistons free agents, and you're going to obviously say which one would you let walk and which one would you resign. So I thought that was pretty fun. I hadn't thought about that, honestly. I thought about talking about Diallo a lot, but I haven't really talked about all those things. I didn't really think about doing a game like this or like having fun with it. So I thought, hey, let's go ahead and get involved with it. So we're going to go ahead and do that. First one coming up is Dennis Smith Jr. Do we let him walk or do you resign him? And also, play along with me. If you guys want to go ahead and tweet at me and tell me who you guys are letting walk and who you guys are resigning, you guys can go ahead and do that too at Cookahill NBA. But first up, Dennis Smith Jr. I personally think the Pistons are going to let him walk. I mentioned on the podcast I think 2 weeks ago how Dennis Smith Jr. honestly is like one of the sad stories for the Pistons. It kind of like got glossed over. I don't really expect fans to like care too much about it because obviously he's not like some big piece of this team and not really that important, I guess. But it is pretty sad because when the Pistons traded for him, at the time I never believed that he was going to be a part of the team's future. I thought that Dennis Smith Jr. would use the Pistons, kind of like how Josh Jackson used the Memphis Grizzlies, to springboard himself into another team, springboard himself into a new contract with that team, and continue his career somewhere else. Kind of like I said with Josh Jackson and how he's had, I thought, a pretty good year for the Pistons, as now he's prolonged his career here and possibly getting an extension when it comes up. But I thought that's what Dennis Smith Jr. was going to do with the Pistons, and it looked like it was going to happen. He started to play pretty well for the Pistons after like the first few games. He started getting into a little bit of a groove and actually playing pretty well, and I thought that was going to happen for him. I thought he was going to go into free agency and end up signing as a backup somewhere. But then he got hurt, and he missed a large chunk of the end of the season. Actually, let me look up how many games exactly he hit. He missed at the end of the year. I know he didn't play like the last, I want to say like 15 or so games. Yeah, actually, no, more than 15 games. He didn't play the last 19 games of the season. It just has to suck for him. I feel bad for him because he really was starting to like play better for the Pistons. Like, he wasn't like shooting the lights out or anything, but he was playing better. He had a triple-double for the Pistons. Like, he was playing pretty well. He was going to get himself a contract, I believe, with another team as a backup. And now it's just like, I don't know what's going to happen now. I like, that was a short stretch. If he didn't get hurt, he could have made it a longer stretch and maybe got himself a contract. But now I just don't know if that's actually going to happen for him. And that's sad. I feel bad for the guy because the crazy thing about it, too, the thing that makes me feel even worse for him, is that he was always on the sideline, too, rooting for everybody. He was constantly up, cheering with everybody. You could tell he liked being here. He enjoyed his teammates. Like, he was having fun here. So it really sucks that his season had to end like that and put that kind of cloud over his future. So I'm going to go ahead and say let walk. But I was going to say let walk before he even had the good stretch. I just don't see how he fits with the Pistons guard rotation of Killian Hayes, Saben Lee, whoever they draft coming up, and etc. So I think he's going to get let walked. Rodney Magruder, let him walk. I'm not giving you, like, I'm sorry. If any of you guys like Rodney Magruder, you guys have to go to another podcast. Go over to the Bun and Cardigan podcast or something, because I'm not going to give you guys any kind of explanation for Rodney Magruder. We're just going to let him walk. Corey Joseph. There is like a little bit, I got into a little bit of an argument. There's a little back and forth with some of my friends today about Corey Joseph. The whole point of the trade, which at least I read and was my understanding, I feel like some of the understanding that the beat writers wrote and everything that the basic information that we were given, that the point of the Corey Joseph trade was the fact that he can be cut by a certain date and you get $11 million back and he's basically expiring. That was like the point of the trade there, because DeLon Wright was not on an expiring. So I thought that was the point of the trade. And I now see that that's like, that was lost on a lot of people. Not a lot of people were aware of that. But I feel like I feel like that was made very clear. That was the point of the trade there. So no, I think he's going to get let walk because that was the point of it. Now whether he comes back like on a vet min or something, I don't see it. I don't think he's going to come back. Corey Joseph, I said this actually towards the end of his time, like towards the end of the season. He's actually decent. Like, obviously, I didn't like seeing him play because I wanted to see young players play. He's not going to really matter in the future for the Pistons. But Corey Joseph, he's not that bad. Like, I could see, I asked the question, why isn't he like on a contender, like helping them as a backup? Like, what's going on? And people correctly point out his contract. So I honestly think that Corey Joseph could probably go to a contender somewhere, like a really good team, just be a backup point guard and actually be really good for him. He actually is decent. I see why Corey Joseph has a little bit of a, I guess I shouldn't say a little bit, a strong support from Dwayne Casey, because Corey Joseph ain't bad. I could see him being on a contender and helping them next year. So let walk to Corey Joseph. Wayne Ellington. See, Wayne Ellington is kind of like a funny one for me, because I would say let walk because he's like someone I think could probably help a contender like in spot minutes off the bench as a shooter. But he's done came back to Detroit twice now, and at a certain point, I'm going to assume that he just probably likes being here, and he likes being in Detroit. He likes playing for Dwayne Casey, I'm going to assume, or he wouldn't have came back again. So I know Torrey Weaver also had a quote today that said that this team's always going to have veterans. He believes in constantly having veterans on this team. He's not going to just overload with all young guys and just have no leaders. And I think Wayne Ellington can fit that. So for the time being, I'm going to say you can re-sign Wayne Ellington. Maybe like give him a one-year deal, one-year vet min or something like that. I think he fits that bill. Now, whether I don't think that he should do that. If I was him, I'd go play for like a really good team and play spot minutes, because I think he can do that. But I think he probably likes it here since he came back. And Dwayne Casey obviously loves them, and they need veterans, like Torrey Weaver said. So I think he's a good veteran to have around. The team obviously likes him. He fits here. So I don't have a problem with bringing back Wayne Ellington if they want. So next one, we got Frank Jackson. Obviously, re-sign. I think he gets, honestly, for me, I think I'd give Frank Jackson a three-year deal. Not too expensive, obviously. This is the thing. I'm not going to say and act like I'm a salary cap expert. But in my head, like what I'm thinking of, I know the salary cap's changed over the years, so I might be off on this. But in my head, I would think that a guy like Frank Jackson, how he played, would get something like 3 years, like $6 to $8 million a year. Like, that would be my guess on how much Frank Jackson gets. Maybe like $5 to $8 million a year. That would be my guess. Three-year deal like that, or maybe like a 2-year deal, like a $5 to $8 million option or something. Like $5 to $8 million a year, 2-year deal, and then the second year be like a player option, in case he like balls out and wants more money or something. I could see if something like that happening. But Frank Jackson, 100%, I think he's going to be re-signed. Obviously, I don't see how the hell the Pistons let him go. He came on a two-way. He played extraordinarily well, and I don't see how Troy River lets him go. So, re-sign Frank Jackson. Next one, we got Saben Lee, which, by the way, I did not know that Saben Lee needed to be re-signed this offseason. But then I remembered that he actually was on a two-way contract. So I think Saben Lee probably gets re-signed as well. Not very expensive, obviously, at all. I could see him get maybe like a two-year, I don't know, like what, $4 million deal or something like that. Two-year, 4.5, something like that. Give him $2.2 a year or something like that. But yeah, I think Saben Lee is going to come back. Obviously, he's going to be a sophomore. I don't think the people calling him like part of the core four. Saben Lee's not a part of the core four like that. Like he's not. He is expendable. Let's chill out. But I think Troy River likes him. Obviously, he drafted him, and he didn't really play bad or prove him wrong. He actually, I think, would say proved him right. So he definitely will be on his way back. And then the biggest fish of them all, obviously, Hamidou Diallo. Hamidou Diallo, I saw somebody actually respond to this and say they would let Hamidou Diallo walk. There is no way in living hell that Hamidou Diallo is walking. There's not a chance in hell that he's not going to be on the Pistons next year. I'm literally willing, like, if you guys can go back to this podcast when free agency goes up, I'm betting anybody here, like anyone who's willing to bet, I will bet $20 right now that Hamidou Diallo is guaranteed to be a Detroit Piston next year in the foreseeable future. There is no way in living hell that he's gone. Let me read you a quote from Troy Reaver today on Hamidou Diallo. He says, "He's a very talented young man, very familiar with him. I told him that a lot of players don't get the opportunity to take the bull by the horn, and he has that chance now to come in and turn his career into a huge positive." He also had a few other quotes about Hamidou Diallo, but like, oh, and here's another one right here. This is the one I was looking for. He says, "Hopefully we can keep him here as part of this group." Troy Reaver loves this guy. Everything you hear about from Troy Reaver about Hamidou Diallo spits just, "I love this guy." And obviously he made the trade. That was his dude over in OKC. And Hamidou Diallo, he had a little stretch where he struggled. But outside of that, he was freaking amazing. He dropped 35 points a career high for the Pistons. And that dude, he isn't one of those guys who just go into that dunk contest and is just athletic and can just dunk. That dude, now everyone knows that the dude can't shoot. But he gets to the rim whenever the hell he wants, even with that. Like, even if you go under screens, like, I used to say this about Bruce Brown. People used to know Bruce Brown just couldn't shoot, and they'd go under screens, and he still would be able to get to the rim every now and then because he just had such a quick first step. Yeah, Hamidou Diallo isn't like every now and then. Hamidou Diallo gets there whenever the hell he wants. Like, if he wants to go to the rim, he's going to get to the damn rim. Like, that's just a given. I don't know how he does it. He's strong as hell. He's athletic as hell. I just don't know how he's able to just get to the rim whenever he wants with teams knowing he just doesn't want to shoot. Obviously, he has places to develop his shot, playmaking ability, knowing when he shouldn't shoot the shot. But he has extraordinary potential. There's no way Troy River lets him walk. So he 100% will be re-signed. But that's all of them right there. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure you guys, like I said, play along with me and tweet me who you guys are re-signing, who you guys are letting walk, and let me know who you guys disagree. If you guys do disagree with me, let me know what you guys disagree about at Kukahill NBA. When we come back, we're going to talk about what some of these Piston players would look like on different teams, maybe even better teams coming up. But let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline.ag. Betting is now legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there was one problem I ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's when I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA has its playoffs coming up, and the NHL and MLB are still in full swing. If you want to take your advantage beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline right now and sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I mentioned the NBA playoffs coming back in that ad read for BetOnline. Tell me that the Golden State and LA matchup in the play-in isn't amazing, dude. Like, I understand it's a Piston podcast, but come on. You can't sit here and tell me that you are not excited as hell for that matchup. That was the matchup I've been wanting. I can't wait to watch it. This is about to be so damn cool. I'm a big Steph guy. Steph is one of my favorite players ever. So I've already said that if Steph ends up being LeBron, I'm celebrating like it's a championship. Like, you, it better not happen. I promise you I will celebrate this like a championship. It better not happen. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into this tweet that one of you guys sent to me over on the Locked On Pistons Twitter. And it actually was a pretty interesting question. Another thing that I just haven't really thought about talking about. And you guys, like I said, you guys are helping me with content, giving me a lot of ideas to talk about on the podcast for this offseason. So keep doing that. Keep tweeting me stuff. Keep tweeting me things you guys want to hear talked about. I always respond to all you guys. I always engage with all you guys. I love doing it. So make sure if you guys continue to have like any ideas or something you guys specifically want talked about, tweet it at me. I'll be sure to talk about it on the podcast. But this one's from Mark Siegel. He says, "Whom are the players in the current roster that could start for a playoff team? And whom on the roster could be a role player for a playoff team?" Now, I think this is really interesting. This is always like one of those fun conversations that can get heated sometimes. I got into one of these conversations last year with the last year's roster with Bruce Brown and stuff and Luke Kennard, whatever, because I was really high on Bruce Brown. So a lot of people would be like, oh, Bruce Brown is even a good player on the contender team. You're too high on him. And now we see what he's doing over in Brooklyn. Not to toot my own horn, but I was pretty damn right about what Bruce Brown was. I will take all credit for that. I was right about Bruce Brown. And all of you guys that were wrong about him, I know who you are, basically. But anyways, this is a fun question. I did it last year with that roster. And I hadn't thought about this roster. So I think obviously the first answer is quite obvious with Jeremy Grant. Obviously can be a starter on contender. Probably a third option. Maybe like a contender. I think maybe he could be a second option on a contender. It depends who that first option is. Like if it's the first option, it's LeBron or something or Steph Curry, then I think, yeah, he could. But I think obviously you'd probably run him as like a third option. But I think he's the one that you obviously would pick as the starter on a different playoff team somewhere. So that one I think was pretty obvious. Next one we can go with Killian Hayes. I don't think Killian would even be a role player on a contender or a playoff team. He's just not, like, I'm not crapping on Killian before all of you guys freak out. Killian's just not that good compared to NBA peers. He played better as the season went on when he came back from injury compared to other rookies, which is what you want to see. But compared to actual NBA players, I don't think he'd even be a role player. So I don't think he'd play at all. Sadiq Bey, I think Sadiq Bey could possibly be a starter on a contender, like not like a top option like he was for the Pistons this year, but as a 3-and-D guy, I think he absolutely probably could be a starter. I think he probably is better used as a role player right now off the bench for a contender, but I could see him being like a starting wing and just being a strictly 3-and-D guy, catch and shoot threes and just guard the opposing team's best wing guy and doing that for guys like the, you know, a team that I actually think Sadiq Bey would fit really good with. I'm not going to lie. I think he would like do wonders for them. I think he'd do really good with Portland because Portland needs defense. Like they've completely said, screw defense. We're just going to go all offense, which he can fit into. He shoots a lot of threes and he is really good at it. Obviously he broke like basically every record for a rookie this year when it comes to 3-point shooting. So obviously he fit in perfectly with the offense. And then on defense, he can defend bigger guys. He's pretty strong. So I think he actually would fit really good with Portland. That's a team I'd like to, if I like could figuratively just put him on a team, I would put him on Portland. I think that actually would be pretty dope. And he would get so many open shots playing with CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, obviously. I think that would be really cool. Obviously, not saying I want him to leave the Pistons. I'm just saying in this scenario, I think him playing in Portland would be actually pretty cool to see. Dennis Smith Jr., not a role player on a contender team. I'm sorry. He's just, there's not much of an explanation there. He just wouldn't be. Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson's going to be one of those guys that are kind of hard. I think Josh has a role on a contender. He could come off the bench and be like a pure scorer, but it would, I think his is a little bit harder because Josh's problem is that he doesn't know when to reel it in and like chill out for a second. So I think he'd have to reel that in and the coach would have to like find a way to like tell him to chill out sometimes. But the thing with Josh is that when he does do that and he actually chooses like, okay, there's two people on me going to the rim, I should pass it. He's shown that he has pretty good passing when he wants to be, which is kind of the frustrating thing with him, is that he actually is a good passer when he wants to be. It's just like, why don't you want to be all the time when you get three people on you? But if a team could get him to reel that in and do that, he's also really good on defense and he plays really hard. I think he could be a role player off the bench for a contender. I think he could probably end up being like a... I think he'd probably end up getting benched a few times and just not played some games because he would probably play himself out sometimes with like some of his decision making. But I think he would be a role player off the bench for a contender somewhere. Isaiah Stewart. I think Isaiah Stewart could possibly be a backup center for a contender. I don't think he would get mega minutes at all, but I think he could be one of those guys that come in and just like when you, what's the word? When like a team is like lacking energy and like getting destroyed or something, or like lacking effort, you throw Isaiah in and he just changes the energy of the game. All of a sudden your players are like, oh, hey, Isaiah's going freaking crazy. He's pushing people. He's punching people in the face. Let's go ahead and go out there and play hard. I think he would do that for a lot of guys. So I think he could probably be a backup center in that type of role. Hamidou Diallo, I think he kind of fits the same scenario as Josh, to where he could be off the bench for a contender, but probably would play himself out of some games because he doesn't know when to pass and when like he shouldn't take shots. So I think he'd probably play himself out sometimes, but I could see him being an overall player for a contender. Mason Plumlee, obviously we're going to see Mason Plumlee on a contender before playing. We've seen him on multiple of them before, so that's pretty self-explanatory. Sekou, no, he would not play on. I love Sekou, you guys know that, but he's not going to be playing on any contender. I'm sorry. Frank Jackson, absolutely. If Frank Jackson is playing like how he did the last like 2 months of the season, he 100% is playing. He is more certain to play than Josh Jackson or Diallo. That dude can just straight up score from anywhere. Like we spent many times on this podcast like absolutely praising Frank Jackson. I'm not going to do that again. But Frank Jackson 100% can play for a contender somewhere. That dude can just put the ball in the bucket any way possible. So, yeah, he'll play for a contender somewhere. Saben Lee, no. Jahlil Okafor, no. And by the way, Jahlil Okafor, I know he – I don't know if he will get cut, but I'm done seeing him play. I think his experiment is completely done. And it sucks because he's a top pick, and obviously he was drafted in a bad – in an era that probably didn't fit what he was good at. But either way, I think it's pretty much done with him. Tyler Cook, no. Savitas, no. Corey Joseph, like I said earlier, I think he probably is going to be a backup point guard next year on a good team. He still has some stuff left in him. I didn't expect him to play that well. I thought he sucked when he got here, and he proved me wrong. He actually could do some stuff for a contender. I think he can be a backup point guard. Wayne Ellington, I think he could be spot minutes for a contender somewhere. Like, I think his defense is just so poor now that he can't really stay on the floor for long times. But he's just still a pretty good veteran, and he still can shoot the ball and shoot the lights out. Like, he can go on stretches where he just doesn't miss for multiple games in a row. And obviously, contenders love outside shooting. You need outside shooting everywhere. So I think he could play spot minutes sometimes when he can't get absolutely exposed on defense. So one of those guys who can play every now and then, but not all the time on a contender. So I think that we ended that with, how many guys did I say end up would play? I think I said 1 with Jeremy, 2 with Sadiq, 3 with Josh, 4 with Isaiah, 5 with Diallo, 6 with Plumlee, 7 with Frank Jackson, and then 8 with Corey Joseph and 9 with Wayne Ellington. Okay, see, now that makes me question whether my answering was actually accurate. Because if the Pistons had like 9 guys that could play for contenders, they wouldn't be this bad. But then actually, you know what? They wouldn't have been as 21 bad anyways if they would have just not tanked as hard as they did. I don't know. Yeah, actually, you know what? A team of just simply role players actually would win just 20 games. So actually, I take that back. That's fine. I feel secure in what I said. I think Jeremy's the only one. Jeremy and Sadiq, I think, are the only ones that could start for a contender. Maybe Mason as well. Mason probably could do it like how he did for Denver, but it would have to be a situation like that. But I think Jeremy and Sadiq, more so Jeremy, but Sadiq I think could fit into that like Portland role, like I said. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Who do you guys think could start for a contender? Who do you guys think could simply just play for a contender on this Pistons team? Go to Twitter and at me, at CougarHillNBA, and let me know who you guys think it is, whether you guys agree with me or disagree with me. And that's all I've got for you guys today on this podcast. I have a few guests coming on this week. Later on in the week, we got Motor City Hoops coming on here. Really good with film breakdown, a former college basketball player. I really love his breakdowns. We connected over some Killian Hayes breakdowns and Sekou breakdowns. So we're going to have him tomorrow talk about some film and break down even more film with you guys. And then the next day, we're going to have one of the beat writers for the Pistons. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but he's going to be on the podcast. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, we are not going to be just talking about Pistons the whole time. I promise you this right now, we are going to get some hip-hop involved because me and him are both really into hip-hop, and I feel like we have a little... Actually, no, I'm not going to spoil it. He's going to be on the podcast. Make sure you guys look forward to that. And obviously, we'll get some insight about the Pistons as well. I was just joking around with you guys about that. But anyways, thank you guys for listening today. I'll catch you guys in the next podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and I hope you guys enjoyed the rest of your guys' day. Peace out, everybody.